All right. Just a couple housekeeping items before we get into the business portion of our agenda. If you haven't already noticed, there's a sign-up sheet for public comment at the doorway. The clerk asks that we sign in for public comment if you plan to speak tonight. If you don't plan to, or if you're not sure if you'll plan to speak or not, make sure you sign that sheet before you leave so that the clerk can identify who you are in the record when you do speak. We have a considerable amount of business to get through on tonight's agenda, so I'm asking if you have public comment to give, please step to the podium, state your name and address, and we'll do so in as orderly way as possible to help us get through this as efficiently as we can. I anticipate we'll be here for some time, so get comfortable. On the agenda tonight is approval of the Town Council September 24th, October 1st regular meeting minutes, and October 1st public hearing meeting minutes. Ms. Holcomb.
I move we approve of the Town Council September 24th, 2018, and October 1st, 2018 regular meeting minutes, and October 1st, 2018 public hearing meeting minutes, as are written.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve the Town Council September 24th, October 1st regular meeting minutes, and October 1st public hearing meeting minutes. Any discussion from Council? Any public comment on the minutes? Hearing none, we'll call the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Thank you. Next item is approval of the biweekly claims. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve of the biweekly claims.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Discussion from Council. Ms. Barker.
The mini code website based feature, I know we spoke to April about it earlier today, but could we also let the public know what that entails a little bit?
So that feature is the feature that enables us to publish our municipal codes online. So when you hit the municipal code button on our website, it takes you to a mini code site, and that is that site that we pay an annual charge for. Further questions on Ms. Barker?
The Montana Saw is claim number 14720, the Toro Mower. The two claims, could we see those for the bids? Do we have two different quotes for that?
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
For the public's information, the our purchasing policy requires purchases over a certain dollar amount that we go through some sort of procurement process. When the finance officer submits a claim to me for my signature before it comes to council, she'll include those quotations with that claim sheet. That's what the council's reviewing tonight. Okay. Any further questions from the council on claims? Public comment on the claims. Okay, hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Signature on the back, please. Administrative reports is next on the agenda. Don't see Mr. O'Baggy tonight for the airport report. The building report is included in your packets as well as on the screen. Chance to review that. Ms. Barker.
I did notice that there is a new roof going up on Winslet. Was that submitted for a...
I don't know that. We can verify through the office. I don't have the book in front of me. Okay. We issue multiple permits a day lately, so. All right, move on to the fire report. Chief Motley.
So the report will come up here on the screen. It's been pretty much business as usual. I think we're at 500 and some requests for 2472 requests for service for the year so far, being the date, which is on par a little bit ahead of last year. It's been fairly quiet this fall as far as burns go. A little tick up now in October, but other than that, it's been pretty straightforward. The big thing that we're doing right now is venting different SCBA manufacturers and their products and what they have to offer us as far as the SCBA grant goes. We have two more vendors to meet with this week, and once we've met with them, we'll sit down and sharpen pencils and make sure we get what it is that we need and for the best price that we can get it at, and then move forward with getting that grant fulfilled. Probably won't see anything out of that grant come through until right around the first of the year, or so end of this year, if it's next year, before we actually get any equipment in from that grant. Continue to provide ambulance service, emergency medicine to the high school for football games. Basketball games will be coming, we'll be doing those as well, and also soccer and JV games. Other than that, we're just keeping on.
Any questions from council? Great. Thanks, Chief.
Sure.
All right. I don't believe we have any unannounced guests here in the audience tonight. We move on to correspondence. I borrow your letter. It's not in my packet. I apologize. Thank you. This letter is dated October 15th, 2018, from the Stevensville Main Street Association. It says, "Dear Mayor Dewey, we are so pleased with your participation in the 2018 Scarecrow Festival. The crowds were delighted by your creativity. Thank you again for your participation and support of this tremendous event. Enclosed is your certificate for participating. Our hourly counts of attendance show that 3,000 plus people attended Friday night, another 1,000 to 1,500 on Saturday, and at least 800 on Sunday. Visitors have continued to enjoy the scarecrows throughout the week and this past weekend. We spoke to families and couples from Missoula, from throughout the Bitterroot Valley, and from international students studying in Montana this year. All were enchanted by the festival and charmed by Stevensville. We hope you enjoyed the festival, and we welcome any feedback and suggestions for next year. Thank you again for your wonderful entry. Best wishes, Lorraine." Lorraine Roach, Executive Director. That was more so directed at the organization than myself for our participation in the festival. Public comments is the next item on the agenda. It's an opportunity to comment on anything under the town of Stevensville's jurisdiction. Again, I remind you to please sign the public comment sheet and come forward to the podium and state your name and address for the record. You can also comment on anything on tonight's agenda, although you'll have an opportunity to comment under that item as well. But if you have just general comment, you can comment now. Public comment. Mr. Michelson.
I have a letter here. I'd like to read it in the record.
Okay.
This is from ex-council member Raymond Smith. He asked me tonight to read this into the record. "I am writing this to call out our mayor for the lies and false narrative this mayor has been saying. Your first action as mayor was to seek a raise. Then we were told to annex the Super One and Business District to solve our financial woes. Then we were short by $120,000 on our budget. Yet again, you request a pay raise. Then we have a budget surplus, and again, you tried to sneak your raise through a rearrangement of where and how the community's money was spent. We have an issue with our police department, yet you and the chief are working together to mislead the community. It is amazing you and the chief decided to forego our community police needs to hire the SRO officer instead of hiring for the community first and then the SRO. I reached across the aisle to try and do what the people had asked me as a council member to do. I did this, and look at what you did. You took a private and confidential conversation between myself and you, yet you betrayed that confidentiality by telling the chief our conversation. Breaching your duties as a mayor and creating a hostile environment for myself, you, Mayor Dewey, have lied to the citizens of Stephenville. You stated that after not getting a raise the first time around that you would not seek a raise, yet you have on five separate occasions sought that raise after being denied by the council. This is the hostility you have against the council. As you stated to me, if the council would just get out of my way and give me my raise, I am putting over 40 hours a week as a mayor. You knew when you ran for office the wage, the hours required, yet you still asked for a raise. When you run for office, it is supposed to be for a public service, not to better yourself with a pay raise. It is to do what the community needs. Our community right now is lacking in so many areas: water leaks, streets, trees, and so many other needs. Our maintenance department is in need of help. Yet again, your raise is more important. It is called public service for a reason, not to benefit yourself, but to benefit the community. The council members are doing their job by asking questions, holding you accountable, and making decisions based on the facts that you have seen, that you seem to not care about. You are the one who is creating a hostile work environment. I have seen town employees babysitting their child, changing diapers. Are they just being paid by the town to do this, or is this part of their job description? I have been attacked by office staff about decisions the councils have made as a member of the council. I have personally heard staff speak about council members with demeaning comments about their walk, how they talk, and many other items which is inappropriate. Or is it not? I have always stated the truth. I have always held my head high because I know I truly was doing my council position based off the best for the community, not myself. When you have done something other than seek to better your financial status off the backs of the community, then I might change my opinion. I resigned my position because I could no longer trust anything you or the chief have in stating. I always fight to make our community the best it can be. Sincerely, Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stephenville, Montana. I'd like to give this for the clerk.
Thank you. Any further public comment? All right, we'll move on to unfinished business. Discussion decision to approve Resolution 387C, a resolution amending the Town Council Rules, Part 3, meetings to change the regularly scheduled Town Council meeting days of each month. This was brought up, I think at least two meetings ago. It might have been the third meeting ago. The council had a desire to move their meetings from Mondays to Thursdays. There was some discussion in the room at that time that conflicted with the fire department's trainings and whether the firefighters could then participate in these meetings. And there was a tie vote, which ultimately failed. I abstained. So I brought this back forward, as I had shared that I would do that for you. Fire chief and I haven't had an opportunity to verbally discuss it, although he's received an email from me expressing my thoughts on changing the meeting night. We've left this open for you tonight to pick any night of the week you deem fit. If you care to do it, keep it on Mondays. We don't need to take any action. But if the opportunity arose where you thought there was another night of the week that fit, we can facilitate that tonight. My recommendation to the fire chief was that the fire department run their calendar out the rest of the year, and then starting in January, move their trainings back to Tuesday nights, leaving Thursday nights open. And that recommendation was based on an analysis of their training attendance. And what we had seen in regards to firefighter training. But nonetheless, the question's back before you for your discussion and decision tonight. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we change the council meeting days to the second and fourth Thursday of each month, effective second Thursday, October 2018.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to change our council meeting, regular council meeting dates to the second and fourth Thursdays of the month, starting the second Thursday, or the second meeting of October, is that correct?
Effective the second Thursday, October, it's on the agenda.
Okay, very good. Discussion from council. Mr. Michelson.
This came up through fellow member Council Barker's. She felt that she wanted to go back to Thursday, as Mondays were too trying for her with her job. And after speaking with some of the staff, after having a conversation with April today about it, the staff is 100% committed to going back to Thursday, as they could get a lot of their work done. So I'm retired, so it doesn't matter to me, but thank you.
Further council comment? Ms. Barker.
I'll just kind of elaborate on that, too. You know, I know at the last meeting that when this was brought up, too, that you had said also that it would help out your staff. So I think that maybe this would be a good move. It gives us more time to actually look over the packets and be a little more prepared instead of, you know, we get the packets on Friday and, you know, we're cramming for Monday. And I sometimes feel that family time is important, too, for the weekends. And so I think this is going to give us more time to be able to at least digest what's upcoming. I mean, you look at the packet this week, and that's what I spent all weekend on, was the packet.
Absolutely. Ms. Holcomb?
I'm good with any day but Wednesday, so any day works for me.
Would the council consider amending their motion so that this is effective on the after the first of the year, so that the fire department, if in fact this is the direction they take after receiving public comment, that they have an opportunity to respond appropriately if they choose to. And because I think we do have an issue with the rest of the year. After this meeting, we have a couple of holidays that mess up our schedule. But we've allowed in the agenda tonight that you can pick whatever night we need to hold the rest of our meetings for the rest of the year by suspending rules. So that's just a concession I'd ask the council to consider, is amending that motion so that it's effective after the first of the year. But it's entirely a choice. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to amend my motion. I'd like to change it to change the council meeting days to the second and fourth Thursday of each month, effective on the
January.
Second Thursday of January 2019.
Right. Okay. Is there a second for the amendment? Ms. Barker?
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to amend the original motion to state changing council meeting dates from Mondays to the second and fourth Thursdays, effective the second Thursday of January 2019. Any discussion on the amendment? Okay. Let's take public comment on the amendment. Public comment again, step to the podium. Chief Motley.
So I appreciate you making the amendment to the proposal. I think that will give the fire department some time to address this and see if we can't get that meeting that changed off of Thursday. So I appreciate that.
Any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay. The item still on the table is to move the meetings themselves. You just voted on the amendment. Any further council discussion? Any further public comment? Great. Call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Thank you. Bear with me. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision to reconsider approval of the August 13th Town Council meeting minutes. Ms. Trivisi.
Unfinished business because we had a meeting in September
or August 27th, we asked council's approved the August 13 minutes. There was some confusion about a motion made by Councilmember Michelson. After that discussion, the vote failed, so the minutes weren't approved. We did go back and listen to the audio. The audio confirmed that the motion presented in the draft minutes were verbatim, and Councilmember Michelson agreed, and we're putting it back on council's agenda tonight for possible action, hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, how would council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the August 13th, 2018 town council meeting minutes.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
It's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb that we approve the August 13, 2018 town council meeting minutes. Any discussion from council? Mr. Michelson.
The confusion was my fault. It was due to the fact that this goes back to the meeting on which we had the fishing access site that we wanted open. Fellow Barker, Councilmember Barker, and I put it on the agenda, and the mayor also put the same item on the agenda, and I read his for many minutes instead of mine. That was a mix-up. And after I talked to Audrey about it, that's why I said it was the minutes were correct. It was just a confusion on my part. I read your wrong agenda item.
Okay. Any further discussion on approving the August 13th County Council meeting minutes? Any public comment on approving the minutes? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Next item is discussion decision to reconsider approval of the Town of Stevensville staff job descriptions. Ms. Van Tassel?
So a month or so ago, discussion was had about the job descriptions for all of the town's employees. And in reviewing those documents, we discovered that not all of them were presented to council, or they were not documented as having been presented to council for review and approval. So what we have done is we've gone through all of the job descriptions, made some minor adjustments. A lot of it's just formatting, so they all look the same. And so we're bringing them forward for a formal review and approval by council so that everybody can be on the same page as what their job description is. So again, we haven't made any significant changes. We've tweaked a couple of them just to make them actually match what people do. But for the most part, it's just technicality.
Okay. Thank you. Would the council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the town of Stevensville job descriptions.
Okay. Ms. Barker?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker that we approve the town of Stevensville job descriptions. Council discussion. Ms. Barker.
After going through, and I took a lot of time to look at the old descriptions as opposed to the new ones, if there is a way that with the new ones, if we decide to go ahead and approve these tonight, is if we can put in bold print what we have changed so that if somebody does go back and look,
sure,
that maybe they have.
Including the revisions?
Correct.
Sure. Okay.
And I mean, they were just little minor ones, but right. You know, some of the job titles, how they had titled, you know, maybe the deputy clerk, they had listed as deputy police clerk, and now it's just police clerk, I believe, not deputy police.
Yeah, and some of that's changed just with the hiring and moving around of people in the communities. So. Okay. And what this does offer is the council gives us an opportunity to kind of have it start with a clean slate with job descriptions so that we all know at least back to this date something was approved. And then going forward, we can work off those documents and know that those are the right ones we're working off of. So we've also added, pull to your attention, if you look at a job description, any of them, we've added, maybe we have, I think the plan was to add at the bottom some revision remarks so that we knew the last time this had been updated. And these are fresh copies, and so it may not have been done. But that's our intent, is to, the correct April we talked about. Adding a revised and a date on the bottom of it so we knew when it was effective and when it was revised. There's a copy of that one. Has it. The fire department ones have them. The rest of them may not, but that'll be updated. They had somebody paying attention who wrote those ones. All right. Any further council discussion on the job descriptions? Public comment on the job descriptions. Chief Motley.
General Services Clerk, is she, are they still doing hydro testing, or did that go to the water department?
I believe we left, we didn't, I don't think we changed any job duties like that.
Okay, so it's my understanding that the water department was doing hydro testing at this time.
I think they're just flowing them. I don't believe they're testing them.
They're just flowing them.
Somebody needs to be testing them.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that was being done by the fire department.
Okay. Let's clarify that. I think that we'll rely on the fire department to test them.
Okay.
You're welcome. Further public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is item 9D, discussion decision to approve resolution 435, a resolution determining the town of Stevens, wages and compensation for elected and appointed officers and all employees of the town of Stevensville for fiscal year 18-19 and establishing an effective date for that, for those wages and compensation. Ms. Fantastic.
Statute requires that wages for all town employees be set by a resolution, even though technically they're adopted within our budget. So this is what we're bringing forward here tonight for approval, is the actual wage resolution. And the attached, the appendix to the resolution, attachment to the resolution, has been returned to the prior presentation where each job title has a dollar amount based on what the current budget allows for. I know that was a concern for some on the council, so we made an accommodation and put that back to what you're used to seeing. So this is basically saying that we would like the wages to be set as budgeted and effective July 1st of 2018.
Okay, thanks, April. Would the council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I move that we approve resolution number 435, a resolution determining the wages and compensation of elected and appointed officers and all employees of the town of Stevensville for the fiscal year 2018-2019 and establishing an effective date for wages and compensation.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 435, resolution determining the wages and compensation of elected and appointed officers and all employees of the town of Stevensville for fiscal year 18-19 and establishing an effective date for wages and compensation. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
We may need to amend that, but that to say July 1st. 2018.
The resolution does that.
Okay.
The resolution does state that the compensation shall be effective on July 1st, 2018.
Oh, okay. I see. Thank you.
And there's a couple that change in the middle of the year, so those have been otherwise noted.
Okay.
Ms. Barker?
I think the only problem that I had was the aerobic instructor starting out as $12 an hour. I mean, we have a head lifeguard who starts out at $10 an hour. I think that was my only concern on that. I feel the head lifeguard, you know, there every time. She's not always there.
Right.
The person that we pick.
She only works an hour or sometimes an hour and a half for per class. So, you know, she may work 3 to 5 hours a week. And because of the certifications that she has that are involved in that aerobics class that she teaches, she asked for more steep compensation. That's the same compensation, I believe, that she gets in Hamilton. It's revenue dependent, meaning that nobody shows up to her classes, or if less than two people show up to her classes, then the cost of her wages wouldn't be covered, which means she doesn't hold the class. She cancels the class and goes home. Further discussion from council? Any public comment on the resolution? Mr. Midnight.
Can you see the list?
Oh, sure. Can you scroll down? Apologies. Give you a chance to review it. Any further public comment? Do you have enough time, Gene?
Yeah. Are those okay. Hourly wages not including benefits?
Correct.
Okay. And are all those positions currently filled?
No. They're not. The building inspector is vacant.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Any further public comment on wages and salaries? Council comment? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision on to conduct a special audit regarding the town's fiscal year 18-19 budget. This item was tabled from our last meeting. And brought forward by council members Barker and Michelson. So I yield the floor to them for direction on how the council would like to proceed. Mr. Michelson?
I move to authorize Mayor Dewey to initiate the audit of the town's fiscal year 2018-2019 budget as discussed.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to authorize Mayor Dewey to initiate an audit of the town's fiscal year 2018-2019 budget as discussed. Mr. Michelson.
Going back to the start of the budget, I think Mr. Motley, Mr. Marble, the mayor, April, and the council will all have to agree that it was very trying. And I guess what threw us off was there was it started with a zero budgeting this year, and we weren't able to look back the previous years like we always had the last 2 years I was on council, look at it as a reference, and it was just starting over basically from zero and moving forward. So that threw us off, and then some other things threw us off. It just wasn't good communication, and it got so bad that the council, we didn't even show up at one budget meeting, and that's on us, not the mayor or April. So, moving forward, we have passed the budget, and there was still some confusion, but today, we came in and did a harassment and bullying video, fellow Barker and I, and after that, we went out and told April, and we had questions about it. And after an extensive talk with April, I have come to the conclusion that there's just a communication breakdown. And it's on us. We have to walk through the door first. They have to work. So April made some interesting points. And I think to bring this together, I would like to have the mayor have a COW meeting instead of a special audit, because as April said, when we say special, she kind of feels like she's personally attacked, and I have to agree with her. I never thought of it that way, but she works at it 8 hours a day, she knows it, and sometimes we ask questions, we look around at the numbers are confusing because they move around a lot, and of course, we're not financial wizards. We have to trust on her and the mayor to do their jobs within. So it's a lack of oversight on myself and some other council members. And I think just through more direct communication, we can get this thing together. I would ask the mayor to set up a meeting for a COW so we can just sit down so we're all kind of on the same page.
Okay. So if you'd rather have a COW meeting versus an audit, then I respectfully ask that you withdraw your motion. Because your motion says to initiate an audit of the budget. And if that's not the direction you want me to take, I'd prefer you withdrew your motion and made a motion instead to hold a COW meeting focused on review and discussion of the budget. And I'm open to dates if you want, or you can leave it up to Audrey and I to pick. We're long on meetings and short on year. So, you know, we can find a date that'll best accommodate the discussion.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
If you don't vote up or down on this issue, the operating procedure is the item hasn't been dealt with. You can't change the item. You can vote it up or you can vote it down. If you want to recommend a COW meeting, it's a perfectly great idea. I would totally support that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you can change the agenda item. You have to vote it up or vote it down. Okay. And then decide if you want to have a COW meeting instead, because then it's off. You've dealt with it. Council has made the decision. Everybody knows what it is.
Sure.
That's my question about point of order.
Thank you. Follow?
You.
Okay. I won't repeat him. He speaks on his own. Let's withdraw your motion. If you care to withdraw, you don't have to withdraw your motion. We can vote it down. I think that's the council's choice. So, further council discussion on an audit versus COW meeting or otherwise? Public comment? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Barker?
Yes. Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Okay. Motion fails. Is it still the council's desire to schedule a COW meeting?
Yes.
Okay. We can do that. I don't think that requires a motion of any kind. We'll shoot out some dates and make sure what works and go from there.
Thank you.
Ms. Holcomb?
Can I just suggest that we don't use the graft, the pie, that we...
Visual aids?
Yes.
You just want the expenditure and revenue budget report?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. We can accommodate that as well. Thank you for the feedback. Moving right along. Bear with me. Item F, under unfinished business, discussion decision regarding the pool heater. I reported in council comments, almost 6 months ago, that we'd received an offer from a business owned by my mother and father-in-law that they would be inclined to replace the pool heater or perform the labor of that if the town moved forward and purchased the heater itself. We received some recommendations kind of all over the place as to where or what heater we should install. And at that time, that heater cost us it was around $2,000, just shy of that. The council authorized a $5,000 budget of capital funds, and that's been budgeted for. It's in the budget. In council comments, you expressed that you felt it was a conflict of interest and inappropriate for my father-in-law to donate his labor to install that heater. Since then, George and April have worked on getting some quotes and proposals to replace the pool heater. We have two in writing. The other one was a verbal. We didn't get in writing. That one was in the ballpark of $15,000. If I recall correctly, George. The two you have in front of you is $13,989. They have offered, or rather they have suggested that a new boiler, and they include the model there, the make and model of that. And then the plumber also submitted a proposal to install a heater that's provided by the town, which means we purchase it on our own and then have them come and install it. So because of the conversation or objection that was expressed early in the summer, I wanted to bring this back for your consideration, find out exactly what direction you need to go into so that we're not under the gun come springtime to get a heater into the pool. Ms. Holcomb.
Could I ask our attorney if, can you elaborate, would it be a conflict of interest if we used the mayor's father-in-law to do this?
This hasn't come to me before, however, I'm aware of it. And the question is whether or not the mayor is going to garner any benefit from the contract. And I don't have anything before me that suggests that he gets any sort of benefit from doing so. The way the council is imposed right now, he would not be voting on it, because it's impossible to vote the council without a tie. As of right now, I don't see a reason why the town could accept the donation of services.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Michelson.
Since we have that resolved, and thank you, Mr. Min-Mack, for, and this came up before, and you brought it up quite extensively as far as the nepotism issues on this. I did some homework on it, and you were correct. The only question I have is, Mr. Plummer, are they bonded? I'm sure they are.
They are.
Would they be able to do all the electrical work?
The electrical work, actually, and I don't know as though that's noted. It says they adapt electrical on Anderson's. After the plumber stepped up and said, we donate theirs, our, the electrician that we primarily use for most of the town's electrical work, Snowmount Electric, offered to donate the electrical work as well for just parts. Okay. We've just retrofitted that building for some electrical needs already, and so that should be very relatively straightforward. But that was included in the $5,000 budget that we initially set. Okay. Ms. Barker?
The other question is, I see that Andersons would do the removal and disposal of that particular boiler. Is the plumber also willing to dispose of that, or is that something that we're going to have to figure out?
It's already gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. The Public Works Department jerked it out. It was in the way, and we wanted the space. So
okay.
It's gone. Mr. Michelson?
Does Mr. Plummer do the gas piping?
Yes.
Okay. They do everything on here, basically, but Anderson?
Yep, they'll install the heater and make sure it's working for us. Ms. Holcomb, your hand's been going up and down.
I was just going to make a motion that we authorize the Plumber, Inc. to complete the pool heater project as he sees fit.
Okay, is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
Second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to authorize the plumber to complete the pool heater project as he sees fit. Any council discussion? I know Ms. Barker had. Did you have some?
I did. I just wanted to say thank you for actually going out and getting a couple more quotes, because at the time, all we saw was this. And
sure.
I know it states in our purchasing policy, again, to have those two quotes. So
absolutely.
I do appreciate that.
Further council discussion? Public comment? All right, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Get that going forthwith. Discussion decision regarding council's new computers. Ms. Fantastic. There, finally.
As we discussed earlier when we were reviewing the budget amendment, the council had requested that we purchase laptop computers for their use. The computers that they requested were Google Chromebooks. In order to even set up a Chromebook, you have to have a Gmail account. And in order, as representatives of the town, public servants, those email accounts that you use need to be maintained by the town and have archivability. The only way we can get Gmail accounts that have those capabilities is to subscribe to the G Suite at the tune of $10 per user per month. So just for the council, it would be an extra $480 a year to operate those computers. The other part of that, and there's a whole lot of issues about having those computers. They're Google, on, you can't load any software on there. You can't use Microsoft Suite. They wouldn't really function as you need them to. And the other part of it, adding, moving everybody to Google, or moving you guys to Google, we would have to basically move the entire town's email, everybody's emails, to Google so that we can keep the domain name, the town of Stevensville domain name. And that would be an extra $2,640 a year on top of the purchase of the computers. So given everything that we've discovered in trying to get these computers set up, my recommendation would be that we send those back and look at some Dell laptops or HP laptops or something else that one less expensive, and that we can, you or you guys can use them for the reason that you asked for.
Thanks, April.
Thank you.
I think the only point I'd add is that a couple things. If you chose to return the Chromebooks and go with a standard PC, the only other expense we'd incur there would be to put Microsoft Office on those machines for you, so you have the ability to open and edit Word documents and Excel sheets and what have you. We need to load that on. April, what do we pay for our licenses currently? Do you know?
The five that we have, it's
100 a year?
I think it'd be less than 150.
Okay, so it'd be relatively easy for us to fit that into the budget that's been established to subscribe the four council members to Microsoft Office, and so that shouldn't be hard to accommodate. The other thing, though, backing up a little bit to the G Suite issue, the system is that I think that it's something that the town needs to look at down the road, certainly, because that's a system that will archive all of our emails and help us manage how those systems operate. And currently, the archaic system we're under now doesn't give us that ability, so we're somewhat exposed. So for the $2,500 or $2,600 a year to have us on that system, that's not necessarily a bad price. It's just not something we planned for this year. That's probably something you'll see come from the administration going forward. So that's something to consider as well. How would the council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we return the council's requested Chromebooks, and if April is okay to research other computer options that would meet our needs, and then bring it back to council for consideration.
Okay, is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to return the council's requested Chromebooks and research other computer options that meet the council's need, bringing those back for consideration. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
As we discussed earlier, this came about because of the old iPads that the town had that were just getting tired. Even though mine was working, I turned mine in over a year ago, and Raymond Smith's wasn't working that well, and fellow council member Barker mentioned it to April today about hers not even able to keep a charge, so we decided to go about this way, and we didn't know about all this other stuff, so I'm glad that you guys did the research on it. And it makes sense to go away. That's more cost effective for the town.
To be honest, we didn't realize either until we opened the box and went, oh, this won't work. So we put the project on hold. Further council comment or discussion? Public comment. Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Great, thank you. Motion passes. All right, moving into new business. Discussion decision to approve Resolution 436, a resolution of the town of Stevensville, Montana, to vacate the 40-foot alley running through Block 17, Lots 3 through 18 of the original town site of Stevensville. Ms. Trivency.
Thank you.
in there, council members. As we talked about this item at the 6 o'clock public hearing, I'm going to give another brief overview of the item. If you could bring the map up, please, Brittany. About another one that's better visibility. Okay, that's good. So we have the block 17 in the original town site over here off of Buck Street, just literally right over here.
I hate to burst your bubble. That won't point. You need the other one.
Oh.
Sorry. Yeah, use
that. George, don't get all mixed up.
It's all right. I just didn't want you to be disappointed if nothing happens.
I would have eventually figured
yeah.
out. What does this go to?
So the projector, yeah.
Good thing I didn't shut it off.
That's what I was worried about. Thank you.
Okay, so this is block 17, Buck Street, right across the street here. We had a citizen, Carolyn Mickens, come forward to staff, and I believe it was August, and started talking to us, and our town attorney got involved as well. What's the process to vacate an alley? This is the alley right here. These are the lots that surround it, the alley. It was at some time vacated in that property. So when we first started talking to Ms. Mickens and with the attorney figuring out what the legal requirements are, we felt that this is a rather straightforward issue to look at. It's been abandoned for many, many years. Our records show that sometime before the 1970s, it was abandoned. It was never vacated, as you can see on the plat, but it was abandoned. If you go and look at that area, you're going to see that it is essentially, there's no really alley there. People look at an alley as a piece of land or access that you use your vehicle to get back and forth between the properties. This has been built on for so many years that it doesn't function or look like that in any shape or form. As a matter of fact, at some point in time, these lots over here were reconfigured to create this lot. Initially, in the 50s, we believe it was still an alley that went through there. At some point in time, it was changed. We don't have a whole lot of really good records that we've been able to access. So when Ms. Mickens came forward and we began talking to her, it's like, well, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It hasn't functioned like an alley in either, in any way. People have been building on it over the years. We have fences and structures, sheds and workshops and those kinds of things that are in this alleyway. So that was the original thought. It makes a lot of sense. But as with anything, it wasn't as easy as we thought it was going to be. As we began talking to, I sent out notices to all the neighbors. And as I began talking to the residents, I learned that maybe there is going to be a little bit of an issue regarding if we vacate. What we would do is, this is a 40-foot alley. We would split it essentially right down the middle. 20 feet would go to these properties, and 20 feet would go to these properties. And then we would need to figure out how we're going to retain easement. There's a sewer line that runs right down here. And George Thomas, our public works supervisor, can talk more about that. But the sewer line actually runs underneath the home that's located on this piece of property. So that became an issue as well. It's like, okay, we need to maintain that easement or some kind of access to allow our crews to be able to go in and fix it and address any issues related to the sewer. But then we started learning that some of the folks on these properties who are building fences and workshops and sheds and just have had this area forever built some on another person's part of the 20-foot easement. So for instance, if we went and vacated the alley and gave the 20 feet back on each side, this person perhaps, I don't remember exactly which lot it is, but one of these lots, I think it's this one, built a shed, but it's on this person's 20 feet. So that's problematic. We can't just go and say, hey, split it down the middle. We need to figure out how we address those kinds of irregularities in this block. So the things that council really needs to look at as they're looking at this request is, how do we maintain utility easement for the sewer access, and how do we address situations where it's just not necessarily a clean lot or alley split down the middle? And that's all I have to say, I think, on it.
Great. Thanks, Audrey.
Mm-hmm. I'll take this one back with me.
Okay. Don't push the red button.
I'm not touching any buttons.
All right. Ms. Trivisi has presented the information. George, do you have anything to add before the council starts deliberations? Okay. How would the council like to proceed? And you can discuss this before you make any sort of motion. That's okay. There's a lot of pieces to this. Mr. Michelson.
Make a motion to approve Resolution 436, a resolution of the town of Stevensville, Montana, to vacate the 40-foot alley running through Block 17, Blocks 3 through 18 of the original town site of Stevensville.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 436, a resolution of the town of Stevensville, Montana, to vacate the 40-foot alley running through Block 17, Lots 3 through 18 in the original town site of Stevensville. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
So is there a way to retain the utility access to that if we vacate it?
Yes, there is. We could enforce an easement on that property to say, you know, whatever stipulations we'd like, that don't put anything permanent on here or keep it vacant altogether, whatever that looks like. The property would go back to the owner, respectively, but we'd retain some sort of recorded easement on that property so we could access the line. Mr. Michael says.
I had a good discussion with Tom Brown. He used to be on the town council for many years. He used to do this for a living as far as engineering. And he made up a good point is, for a while, and George said earlier too, the town was basically giving up alleyway spaces and other thing. And Mr. Brown said, once you give that up, you never get it back. So to tonight's meeting, I talked with George. I also had a discussion with Mr. Minmack before the meeting, and he was in agreement that for the betterment of the town, that all involved, that if you just leave it alone and keep it the way it is now, that it's much easier for people. I know this doesn't agree with everybody, but you have to look at the wholeness of a town as far as giving property up. We own it. And once we give it away, we don't own it anymore. And if the problems surface, whether it's sewer, as George said, the manholes, electrical, or otherwise, there's also something running down the middle of it too. You got to go dig that up. That brings up issues. And so I just thought I'd put that out there for everybody to put it in their thought process. Thank you.
Further council discussion. I think that if the town decided not to vacate the alley, you can bet that the administration will come forward on some level to address the irregularities that exist on these alleys to kind of clean some of these issues up that we've now found now that we're in Roxor. And so you probably expect that coming up. In the future, regardless, you know, whether you address it tonight, if you choose to vacate, we'll need to address those immediately. But if not, then we have some time. Further council comment? Right, if there's no other council comments, I'll open the floor for public comment. Again, please step forward to the podium. Ms. Mickens.
My question is, after all that we've been going through, I was told that if you vacate, that doesn't mean I am taking the land from the town. It means that you are giving permission for there to be lawn there and upkeep it, but people can't drive their vehicles through it. So I don't understand where, if you vacate it, that you are giving the property to me.
If we vacate the alley, ownership of that property, that little sliver of land in the middle that's kind of
right.
Highlighted black there,
right.
That goes away. The property boundaries will then meet in the middle, but we would retain an easement that may restrict you from what you put on that easement.
Right.
But
so,
if we choose to vacate, you will claim ownership, or you will have ownership of that 20 feet.
I'm sorry, Okay, so if I have ownership of that, what, how does that prevent you from, if I know there's a sewer system there, which I do, mm-hmm. how does that prevent you from going in and taking care of that?
If we don't have a utility easement, you could say, no, you can't come in here. So that's why we'd be retaining an easement, is because we don't want you to meet us at the fence line and say, run your line around.
Okay, so what I did, is us, you and I discussing it, vacate was the wrong word. Is that what you're trying to tell me? That I should have asked for a utility easement there or something?
Well, I mean, to put in, I mean, currently there doesn't need to be utility easement because we own the property.
Right.
But if we vacate, as you requested, we vacate, then we needed an easement to protect our right to access our utility.
Right.
And we cannot, by law, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, vacate an alley that will affect public utilities without retaining an easement.
Right.
So if you want the easement and you want the property boundaries to go back, we need to vacate, but we also want the easement.
So is that a possibility?
That's what's being considered tonight, okay. is whether they'll go that direction or not.
Okay, so then if you get the utility easement thing, then you will help move that shed over, make them move the shed over to their own property that's on.
Those are all things that will have to be addressed, yes, by the council. The council have to determine how we go about fixing those irregularities.
Okay. So.
And I don't know as though tonight we're prepared to determine exactly what those are. We, you know, there's been no survey done of that strip of land, so we don't know exactly where pins are, and so we don't know what sits on them.
Yeah, there are pins.
Right, but I mean, we haven't given a report to the council that says here's the lay of the land objectively. Here it is.
Okay, and because there are survey pins out there.
Sure. Yeah. Right. I understand. I know there are. There are survey pins all over town, but we don't have a report here that says here is exactly where the lines go, and here are the properties that or structures or whatever it is that are affected if we vacate the alley and retain an easement.
Okay. So I think. So tonight you were just saying that it's going to be further discussed. So you're going to decide if you want to do.
No, I think that they're considering it tonight whether they'll vacate or not.
Okay, and if they choose not to vacate, then do I have to fill out another agenda to say that I want it vacated with utility easement? Or what do I need to do to. I'm trying to get the property surveyed, but the surveyor doesn't want to survey it until the town council makes up their mind what's going on.
I think that if the town council decides tonight to not vacate, you could go ahead and have your property surveyed.
Okay.
You're just going to have an alley in the middle of your property.
But I don't want to approve the back of the property.
So that's your public comment is that you would support vacating the alley.
I would support vacating the alley and giving the town the right to a utility easement.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. And that's what they're considering.
Does that make sense, Mr. Michelson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One thing the council may consider, it wasn't included in Mr. Michelson's motion. He just authorized, his motion is to vacate the 40-foot alley. It doesn't have any remark about retaining utility access, so maybe something you
doesn't need to.
Maybe it's something we're going to do.
One defense the other.
Okay.
Mayor Dewey, just to be clear, Brian West, town attorney, if the council wants to take up the issue about vacating the alley, and if they want to make a determination about whether or not it's in the public interest, that's fine. No matter what you do, though, you may not do so if it prevents access to that utility. So whatever action you take tonight, whether you end up tabling the action for further information or any other action along those lines, you have to ensure that you protect that utility access, likely through an easement if you do end up vacating the alleyway. So just to be absolutely clear, whatever decision you make tonight, just ensure that there is protection for access to utilities that run under that alleyway.
Thanks, Brian. Okay. Further public comment? Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. I'll just bring up the comment that I brought up in the public meeting. When Audrey presented it there, she said that you had to have a survey done My question is, who's paying for the survey? That's my comment.
And as we discussed, I think that's kind of, maybe that's somewhat of the council if they decide to have a survey done and do an inventory of what's going on there. It's something that needs to be discussed as to who pays for that and if that's something we share with cost and with the property owners adjacent, or if we share that cost or burden that cost on our own, or shift that cost entirely onto the property owners. Ms. Mickens.
So I can't.
Yes, please.
Okay. So this little section right here has sold to this owner. So this one has the property stake right there that's just been done. In June of this summer, this little lot was sold, and it has a survey pin that's brand new that's right there. So if I were to, which I had planned on having this property surveyed, that would take care of some of the cost.
Correct.
And then these people may just go ahead and lease these boundary lines are done.
Sure.
Okay. So that might help with the cost.
Okay, thank you. Further public comment? Mr. Minmack.
So, Dean Minmack, 1025 Iron Cap. Maybe a little history that might help. I appreciated Councilmember Michelson's comment on our earlier discussion. For years, the town did vacate alleys pretty routinely. And the reason we stopped doing that is because we found out we had nothing but trouble when we did that, when we came back to replace sewers, water lines, whatever it is. And absent of any compelling interest to vacate the alley, Ed Sutherland, the streets and alley supervisor for years here, convinced council after council after council that we shouldn't do it. It wasn't good policy, absent of a compelling interest. It's understandable why, as a homeowner and as a property owner there, it would make some sense to do that. It's just a question is that a compelling interest over and above the public's continued ease of access? Once you vacate the alley, once it gets divided, once that property is allocated, all kinds of things happen, as it is now where it just happened randomly. So I would encourage the council to strongly consider the long-standing precedent here of not vacating alleys, that it doesn't seem to be in the public's interest overall, although sometimes that works against an individual property owner's interest, that we don't vacate alleys for those reasons. It makes too much work for us coming back. Even though we have an easement, everything gets built on. We have to move fences as we come through. It just adds to the public expense of doing a sewer project or even unplugging a line sometimes. So I would encourage you to not do that in this case, even respecting the fact that I can understand that property owner feels it would be a great benefit to her. Thank you very much.
Further public comment on the vacating? Mr. Thomas.
The pieces of property you're talking about here, if those pins are there, we've already lost our 40-foot easement. Because I know this house sits within 10 feet of this roommate. Yeah. So we don't have 40 feet through there.
Okay.
And the little shed.
And I guess, you know, to that respect, the best record we could find of that alleyway was that it was a 40-foot alley. We couldn't find anything that said to the contrary or otherwise. And so we went, as most alleys in the original town site were, they were 40 feet. So, you know, perhaps a survey of that would kind of tell us exactly how many feet we do actually have. Or not.
Well, if you look around town, most of our alleys are about 40 feet.
No. And a lot of them have been reduced. We couldn't find any record of anything that had been done with this one. Okay. Further public comment? Any further council discussion? Is the council prepared to vote on the motion on the floor? which is to vacate the approve the resolution, resolution 436, vacating the 40-foot alley running through block 17, lots 3 through 18 of the original town site of Stevensville. Okay, hearing no other discussion, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Councilmember Barker?
No.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Okay, motion fails. Is there any further direction or discussion on this topic you'd like to undertake? Okay. Oh, Ms. Holcomb.
If you plan on getting a survey, could you bring that back to us so we could see where everything is?
So if I get it surveyed now, because you've denied the vacating of the alley, then that survey will be different than if you were to vacate and have the utilities right away?
Correct.
So right now you're telling me that it's not vacated and so it's just going to be an open alley?
Yes.
That anybody can drive in and out that they want?
Well, I mean, they'd have to get through the fence and everything else, but it's a closed roadway. I mean, yeah, so there is no roadway on that alley, but it is an alley.
Okay.
I think you could call it, a utility alley, I guess, if you needed a term for it.
But the surveyor said that when he surveys the properties, it's going to be different, so I would have to tell him that there is a 40-foot alley there.
Correct.
And so the fence that you allowed the neighbors in the back to build, they would have to take their fence down?
I did not allow a fence.
Well, you told them that they could extend their fence 20 feet more because it was vacated.
I did not.
Really? Then I would like to have Jamie and I come and visit with you about that.
Okay. Moving on then, it sounds like that's wrapped up. New item business, or item 10B, which is discussion decision on a special meeting date to interview Ward 2 council candidates, applicants to fill the council vacancy created by the resignation of Councilmember Ray Smith. So what we're asking for in this item, very put simply, is a date you'd like to hold interviews. Later on in the agenda, then, we'll discuss how those interviews happen and the semantics with them. But tonight, we're looking for a date. Your sample motion allows for a day and time to insert, and it appears the clerk's already at the calendar, ready to throw some suggestions out.
What item are we on?
When are we going to hold interviews for the town council?
Okay. On October 30th, we have kind of a big day. That day was when we meet with MMIA and those folks. So I don't know if we want to meet that week, but Thursday, November 1st, that might be a date that works. November 5th and 6th might work. I don't know if the mayor mentioned it, but we have to do it within 30 days. That deadline would be November 8th. So perhaps November 1st, 5th, or 6th, or even the 7th, I think would work too, for council.
And as an aside, later on in the agenda, we need to reschedule or not have our November 12th town council meeting. That meeting, it falls on observed Veterans Day. You may want to, looking at this entire process, move your November 12th meeting to November 8th, where then you could make an appointment. And then prior to November 8th, you could hold interviews. Because there's four candidates. If you choose to select all four, it's going to take us some time to get through those and some deliberation, so you may want to just have a regular council meeting, make that appointment then, instead of doing it all in one whack. I think the first or the fifth or however you guys, you know your calendars better than I do. Ms. Holton.
Do I have to make a motion? I move that we set the date for November 1st. Starting probably at 7.
Okay.
To interview candidates to fill the vacancy in Ward 2 created by the Red State for Council Member Smith resigning.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to set the 1st of November at 7 o'clock as the date to interview candidates to fill the vacancy in Ward 2 created by Council Member Smith's resignation. Further council discussion? Mr. Michelson?
Yeah, looking at the candidates and due to the current status of the situation of the town, I'm going to recuse myself from this and tell Parker and Holcomb they can do it.
Okay.
So, there you go.
All right, any further discussion from council on the date? Public comment?
Question? You're recusing yourself from what? Choosing the date or something else?
I'm recusing myself from this entire process.
Okay, thank you.
Interviews, everything. Due to one of the applicants on there. There could be a potential, I don't think there is, but due to the newspaper articles and everything else that's going on, that I don't, okay. Still want to, personally, I don't want to stir up any more of a hornet's nest.
Okay. Further public comment on the date being chosen as November 1st at 7 p.m. for interviews. Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Sorry, Jeff, we're going to schedule stuff on Thursdays anyway. Let's see. We're on to agenda item C, discussion decision regarding council interviews, procedural guidelines, and candidate interview questions. So I think we've used the same questions over and over and over and over again. And we've reviewed the process. The candidates are not to have the questions previous to the meeting. So what I'm suggesting is at least for you to select your questions. We've listserved the questions throughout the state to find out what other cities and towns are doing for their questions. They've sent us a pretty comprehensive list, or we've compiled that, basically. So what I'd like to do is send that out to the council members via email, and then you folks individually vote on the questions you like the most. And maybe tonight you give us a number of questions you'd like to have asked, and then, you know, based on your guys' comments and proposal of your own questions, we can compile that list and then ask questions. Unless you'd like to undertake another process.
I have a question, if it's okay.
Sure.
Right now,
Do you mind stepping to the podium?
Comments right now, but I'm just wondering, I'm curious about that Victoria Hall, 609 Middlebrook Court. Why would questions be confidential?
I don't know.
I can't think of a reason why a person couldn't look at questions that they might be asked.
Yeah, no, I...
And once you send them out to all the council members for their consideration, that's actually public. So I don't know that you could do that.
Audrey, do you care to clarify where that came from? And was that in the council rules
that is,
stated?
It's in...
Sure.
It's confidential.
Section related to the town council procedures for filling a vacancy in an elected town officer. I believe it is.
Sorry, you're on part 14, section 3.
Part, 14, section 3.
Second to last paragraph.
Town clerk will make sure you've got the right paragraph here. Second to last paragraph. All applicants shall be interviewed using the same interview questions without the presence of another applicant. No applicant shall be afforded an advance copy of the interview questions. That is per the town council rules and procedures.
There's nothing that says you can't suspend those rules and do whatever you want. You are the legislative body. you can do that.
Or
not. However you choose. I don't believe we have the list of questions handy tonight. But that, you know, if you chose to make those questions public, we can make those public upon request. But we'd still ask you to, you know, put forward your suggestions as to which questions you think are most appropriate. Because there's a lot of them. Good ones, too. There are a lot of them. Yes, sir. Sure.
A little bit of history might be helpful again. So the reason that the councils in the past, and I know Councilman Mahogan, being a long-standing council member, has been through this process more times than you'd probably like. But the reason that the council has decided in the past to keep the questions private from the individual members is the councils wanted to see how the person responded spontaneously, not how long they had to prepare their answer, not who they consulted with to get to get an answer, etc. They found that that was more important to their deliberation than having a researched answer. And so they wanted to see the individuals who wanted to put themselves forward, how do they respond spontaneously? They also instituted the rule that no other candidates would be present during that questioning so that they didn't have an unfair advantage of saying, okay, I know what's going to happen here. So that's the fundamental reason why the councils in the past have decided to select a few questions that they think were pertinent for your deliberation as to selecting a council member to replace one who resigned. And that was their reasoning behind it. They thought it was important to see the spontaneity of the person, give them time to answer fully, no problem with that. But they thought that was an important value that they wanted to have as part of your consideration going forward. It seems like that has worked well. It's not a question of trying to hide things from the public. It's really a question of giving you guys an opportunity to make a pretty good judgment about who comes in, who's prepared, who's thought about things that might be asked, and how do they respond. So.
Okay. And it does say we don't allow them to give them to the candidate, so we could release them to Victoria as long as you keep it a secret.
You can't do that.
I figured we wouldn't.
I can keep no secrets.
How would the council like to proceed? And this can be discussed before motion, if you'd like. Ms. Barker?
So if we do get a random amount of questions, how are you going to, we are not doing it through the email, how are you going to give those to us? So we can kind of pick and choose.
So what I'd do is I think what I would do for you folks is put these into somewhat like a survey for you. So you go on, you can go online. There's a list of questions, and you pick the top 10 you like and submit it. And then Robin goes, picks the top 10 questions she likes, submit them. And then the questions that receive the most votes collectively, those are the 10 questions that are brought forward. It's a little bit different because if Mr. Michelson's recusing himself, there's just two of you voting, so it may be something where if the two of you just want to come in and go through the list of questions and figure that out, you can do so. That's certainly acceptable. There wouldn't be a quorum. But if Mr. Michelson wants to participate in those questions, then we may reconfigure that.
I like the idea of the survey. That way we can look at different questions.
Sure. And I wanted to put a section in there where you could suggest your own questions. So that, you know, if you really felt, oh, I really like this question, we could incorporate it. And if you want to put a limit on questions, you can do that. Or if you say, you know, we're going to pick, you know, five from the list you've provided, and we're going to suggest five of our own, and then we have a list from there of 15, great, we can do that. It's your guys' process. I'm just simply here to facilitate it. So however you guys want it to look, you can do that.
I think it should go into a survey.
Okay.
I
agree.
Okay, survey it is. Are you okay with, on the back of your council communication, the procedural guidelines for council interview process? but... Okay with that? I'd entertain a motion then to approve the procedural guidelines as for the council interview as we've discussed tonight, with submitting a survey of questions to the council members and adopting the procedural guidelines as they're included in your packet. Somebody can say so moved if they'd like.
So moved.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a second? Ms. Parker.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve procedural guidelines and council interviews as discussed. Further council discussion? Public comment. Mr. Moore.
Joe Moore, 514 Central. I just need a point of clarification. You mentioned Councilman Michelson being in on that. If he's recused himself from the previous motion, does he also become involved in the questions?
Can you
clarify that?
So, Mr. Michelson, is it your intent, you're recusing yourself from the from the interview process?
Everything, yes.
And the selection process?
Everything.
So
okay.
It would be the two council members?
The two council members.
And I think if I might add, if they do come down to a tie, I think in this case, I think from what I discussed, then the mayor in this case is the only time he breaks the tie.
Further public comment on the process or otherwise?
We get to know who the four candidates are.
I think that's the next item. Is it not?
The next one?
Yes. So there are four candidates that will be discussed as to which candidates move forward into the interview process on the next agenda item. There's no further public comment or council comment on the interview process and questions. We'll call for the vote. Okay, Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Abstain.
Okay, motion passes. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision to select Ward 2 council candidate applicants to interview for consideration of appointment to fill the vacant council position. Ms. Trivency left folders on our desks or on our spots here tonight that include the four applications and a memo, which, paraphrasing here, states that the four candidates, Mr. James B. Cruz, Mr. Jerry A. Phillips, Ms. Phoebe J. Patterson, and Ms. Anne-Marie McCormick, all meet the eligibility requirements as stated in city ordinance. So the decision before you tonight is to choose all or some or none of the candidates to move forward on interviews on November 1st at 7 p.m. I'll give you a moment to review. Would the council entertain a break for you to review these? We can send you into another room, and if you want to review them, the two of you want to review them for a minute, and we can take a 10-minute recess and give people a chance to stretch and use the restroom if they need to.
I would like that.
Mr. Michelson?
Make a motion that we take a 10-minute recess.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay. Move and second to take a 10-minute recess.
Yes.
All right. We'll reconvene in 10 minutes at 8:40. We can actually, I think, set you in the police department. Let's go back to here.
That's okay, we were breaking up. And then start to have people out there.
No, 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 no
Your address is different, but the service, which is on the...
All right, we'll recap. reconvene the council meeting. Thank you for the opportunity to take a break. The council's returned, reviewed the applications. How would they like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that to interview the following applicants for consideration to fill the vacant council position. Mr. James B. Cruz, Mr. Jerry A. Phillips, and Ms. Anne-Marie McCormick.
All right, is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
All right, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to interview the following candidates: Mr. James B. Cruz, Mr. Jerry A. Phillips, Ms. Anne-Marie McCormick. Any further council discussion? Do you care to elaborate at all? If you want. Public might be curious why you chose those or not. Ms. Barker.
I felt looking over some of the applicants here, the work history, the relations with the public as well. To me, that was something that stood out in those top three candidates.
Okay.
I would have to agree.
Okay. All right. Public comment. Step to the podium. Okay. Hearing no public comment or further council discussion, proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Abstain.
Thank you.
The applications will be available to the public?
They are, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You should see the clerk and she'd be happy to provide those to you. All right. Next item for consideration is discussion decision to amend the fiscal year 2018-2019 budget. Ms. Van Tassel, are you still? Here she is. She's ready to go.
As we discussed at the public hearing earlier this evening, there are three items within the fiscal year 18-19 budget that we're asking for an amendment. The first being the purchase of the town council's laptop computers. We had originally budgeted are asking for an amendment of $992. I think we can stick within that if we change the type of computer we get and add the Microsoft suite. I think we can still make that work. The second item is the award of the FAA grant for the design phase of the next improvement project. The grant award is $165,465 with offsetting expenditures of $167,800. And the final item is the grant that we are subrecipient of for the purchase of SCBA for the Stevensville Fire Department. Our match requirement is $10,500.
Great. Thank you, April. Ms. Holcomb.
I move to approve Resolution 437, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Stevensville, Montana, providing for the amendment of the budget of fiscal year 2018-2019.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve Resolution 437, amending the fiscal year budget 2018-2019. Further council discussion? Public comment? Mr. Motley.
I would encourage the council to go ahead and make this amendment to the budget. As far as the fire department is concerned, this is the least expensive time we will ever have in the next 15 years to buy SCBAs. We're in for $10,500 to get 16 units. We're looking at a cost of $8,500 a copy. So this is a great deal for the town to be able to go forward. And the town is in a great position with the fire department with their savings and the money that we do have that will help cover this cost. So I think this is a great one for us.
Thanks, Chief. Further public comment on the budget amendment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote from the council. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Thank you. Next item is discussion decision to approve proposals submitted in response to the town's request for proposals for a market analysis. April. The move of the podium to the front of the room was part of our employee health program.
You need to tip it. See how many steps you're making.
Yeah, grab them with it. So last month, we sent out a request for proposal to firms who maybe have been interested in providing market analysis for us. We received one very shortly after that request was sent out, but that was it. We felt that it was advantageous to us to get at least one more because of our purchasing policy that we needed at least two written bids for anything over $1,501. So we did extend the deadline for submission, and we have now got two bids for this service. They should be in your packets, and you can see one is, I believe the firm is called Geodata, and the other one is BBER. It's through the University of Montana. Both are qualified. They have been reviewed by the Main Street, and
she's on her way.
But Renee is. So if there are specific questions about their recommendation, she can hopefully answer them for you.
Ms. Endicott, would you like to elaborate on your Economic Development Committee's recommendation?
Sure.
You just have the podium, please.
I'm Renee Endicott, and I'm on the Economic Development Committee with the Main Street Association. And so we reviewed the two proposals that you guys can all see. And our recommendation is the proposal by Geodata. When we looked at both proposals, Geodata, when you looked at the using all the money that we had available, the $15,000, we were able to get more for that than we were with the one from the university. So with the one from the Geodata, we were able to actually be able to get trained with the program and be able to buy the program. We would get the program for 1 year. We would be able to get the program and use it at the Main Street. We could also use it at the town. We have, I think it's up to 5 users, but it's really useful information. Anybody moving to Stevensville, and you can get specific information. So if someone was coming to start up a new business, they could ask very specific questions, and with the training that we were getting from Geodata, we would be able to provide that report. And whether or not you would want to charge for that, or it could be, you know, income producing, or we just offer that, we thought it was worth it. And so just comparing the two, we made the recommendation to go with that one. We felt like we had a lot more. And we got to see a sample of the report, and it was amazing, the things that you can see from it. So, and then we can move forward with whatever you guys would like to do.
And that sample report is included in the packets.
Yeah.
So you can see that it's the report labeled ESRI at the top. ESRI.
And that is just a sample of what you can get. It can get
correct.
So specific. But again, we would be able to, you know, buy that program for 1 year and get trained in how to use it.
Thanks, Renee. Would your council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we authorize Mayor Dewey to engage Geodata Services to conduct a market analysis for the town of Stevensville.
Is there a second?
I second.
Mr. Michelson has seconded Ms. Holcomb's motion to engage Geodata Services to conduct a market analysis for the town of Stevensville. Council discussion. Ms. Barker.
So what is it again that's going to cost us after that 1 year?
We don't need to renew. We get it free. We get it. The cost is, I'm sure you have the breakdown with both proposals. So you have the one from the university. You're paying the university just for their services.
And you can see that I think it's $7,500 just for the work, and then the rest is to pay their staff. And then you look at what you can get from GeoData. It includes 1 year subscription, still within the budget. We do not need to renew. It would be something, though, that we might discuss further if we are able to make money with it. Hi, Lorraine. So we're just talking about, I think.
Good timing. How much does the software cost on an annual basis if we choose to renew it?
I think
1500. Okay. So that'd be an ongoing maintenance cost if we chose to renew that subscription.
But it would end after that year.
But it would end, And frankly, with the saving, I mean, we have $15,000 budgeted for this project. And for a total proposed cost of $12,500, that gives us an opportunity to set some money aside for an annual renewal of that if we so chose. If we found it helpful, I guess, if we could justify it. Further council discussion? Or a call for public comment? All right, public comment on the proposals. Okay. Lorraine, do you have anything to add?
I was just adding that in sharing some of the information that's in the proposals with some of the businesses here, they're really excited about this because this gives them information that shows what are people buying in this area, how might they adjust their product or service mix to better meet the market needs, how can they be more profitable, how can they create more jobs. This is basically data that businesses don't have access to otherwise, and this gives them tools. It also shows us where we are, where we have a lot of leakage, in other words, money going out of the community that maybe we could recapture through either existing businesses who might want to diversify or through new businesses that might want to start to meet some of the needs in the market where we have gaps. So it's a business recruitment or expansion tool. It's a job creation tool. This is the kind of thing that's used by economic development organizations around the state, and it provides us the hard data that we need to really be successful in creating more jobs to replace some of the $15 million payroll that we lost with Selway Corporation closing. We lost 120 jobs, $15 million a year. We're getting maybe 40 of those jobs back, but we still have a huge hole to fill, and that affects every business in the community, and it means more people have to commute out of town to work. This would give us the data we need to effectively recruit some businesses that might create jobs to replace some of those that we lost with Selway closing.
Okay. Thanks, Lorraine. Further public comment. Ms. Meisner.
This money from the taxpayers, does DMSO, or does this money come from Main Street?
So this funding actually is a partnership between the Department of Commerce and the Town of Stevensville's Economic Development Fund. So $10,000 has been committed from the Department of Commerce at the state, and another $5,000 has been committed from the Economic Development Fund from the town. Which was, if I recall correctly, leftover CDBG funding as a revolving loan program that we no longer service. So in essence, I suppose, no, not a direct cost to the taxpayers from the town. Further public comment? Anything else from the council? Mr. Michelson?
Looking back and reading that letter from when ex-Mayor Cruz was the mayor there, I remember when we did this and we gave the town $5,000 going forward. And of course, we didn't approve the CDBG grant, so it was going to be offset part of it. So at least the money isn't totally wasted that we gave to them.
Correct. And we're not giving the money actually to anybody.
No.
The bill and everything is going to come to the town, and I think that the only thing Main Street really gains from this is the data itself from the market analysis. But I think perhaps the town has more to gain from that than they do. And so, yes, and with the budget coming in under the $15,000, that's a cost savings to the town because as Lorraine shared, we use the Department of Commerce's money first, and then we use the town's money. So, you know, we won't spend the full $5,000 we've committed. That's a good thing. Okay, are we ready to vote? All right, no other discussion, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Okay, next agenda item is discussion decision to set council's schedule for November and December of 2018. So November and December proved to be problematic with our Monday meetings. Veterans Day falls, or the observed Veterans Day falls on November 12th, a Monday, which is right scheduled as a town council meeting. And then in December, we fall into Christmas Eve. And I think staff and yourselves probably would appreciate not holding a council meeting on Christmas Eve, although if you choose to, there's no fight in it, but I wouldn't recommend it. So we'd like to look at the calendar, and maybe so you have two options. Pick alternative dates for those two meetings, which I think we've kind of indicated that maybe we'd move the November 12th to the 8th of November, so you could make an appointment to the town council. That would give us two meetings in November, and you may decide, and I think this may have been past practice, is just to authorize claims to be paid out of cycle and forego the second meeting in December altogether. I apologize, we don't have a recommended motion for you, so if you'd like, if that's the consensus, I can word it for you so you can... We can pull this over and go. Does the 8th of November work for everybody for a council meeting? And do you wish to forego a second meeting in December, or would you like to reschedule?
I would be okay to forego the second meeting and just have the claims be paid out of cycle.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion then from council that we move November 12th's council meeting date to November 8th and forego a... second meeting in December, authorizing claims to be paid out of cycle.
So moved.
Hell, you guys have caught on. All right, Ms. Holcomb has moved. Is there a second? Mr. Michelson, have you seconded?
I do.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Council discussion. Public comment. All right. Sounds like a done deal. We'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Great, thank you. We'll make those adjustments going forward. Next item is discussion decision allowing six CDs to automatically renew on the 29th of October, 2018. Ms. Van Tassel.
I'm not coming next time, guys. I'm just sit up first. As I believe most of you are aware, we have invested in CDs with Rocky Mountain Bank to set money aside for future purchases, primarily for the exclusively for the water and sewer funds for repairs and maintenance and capital improvement projects. Six of those CDs, as you'll see here, are set to renew on the 29th. Typically, we've just been letting them roll forward, but I wanted to put that out to you guys to see if there's anything else you'd rather do. I can't see any reason to cash them out. We don't need the cash right now. So my recommendation would be that we just, as historically, just let them roll over and renew for another year. These are one-year CDs.
April, is any of this money involved in the $1 million water storage project?
These particular ones, no. Okay. We have some bigger ones that we'll be renewing closer to the time we will probably do as a project.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from council for April before we dismiss her?
Yeah.
Do we know, while working with the bank, do we know what the rates are going to be when they renew by any chance, or have we looked into other areas?
I do have that in the office. It's still not much, but because they're kind of long-term, it compounds. No, we have not shot banks.
Okay. Mr. Michelson?
If we were to move it at a different place, would that town have to pay a penalty for moving the CDs?
If we do it before they renew, no. Yeah. We can cash them out prior to at their renewal date. There would be no.
And you have 10 days afterward.
Yeah. So if we call the other bank and say they just renew for us, I don't think it would cost us anything.
Any further questions from council to April? Thanks, April. How would the council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I guess I would like for us to shop around and see if we can get any better rates.
Okay.
On the money. If not, then I don't have a problem with letting them renew or automatically renewing.
Okay. So your direction to the administration is to shop around, see if we can get a better rate. If we can, move them, and if not, or if we can, go for the best rate, mm-hmm. and if not, leave them where they are. And
yes.
Them
yep. That would be my suggestion.
Could you put that in the motion? If you'd like, unless the council would like to deliver it further. I mean,
so move down what you just said.
Okay, so Councilmember Holcomb has moved to direct the administration to shop for CD rates, select the highest rate, and if no higher rates are available, allow the CDs to automatically renew as they are. Mm-hmm. Is there a second? Oh, Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay. Further council discussion. Public comment. Mr. Minmack.
I would encourage you to consider that the highest rate might not be the most secure rate, depending on the institution. There needs to be some reasonable institutional standards that they should meet for this amount of money that the town would invest. So the highest rate oftentimes is not necessarily the best.
Sure.
So Mr. Tavick, being a retired banker, could have spoken to that, but he's still, I guess. So I would just encourage it, not necessarily just the highest rate, but the one that meets the investment quality that the town expects.
Okay.
The reason that we've stayed with Rocky in some cases is because they have done that, although we've shopped around with the various banks, credit unions, et cetera, at different times, and money has been moved among different institutions. But it's not just the highest rate. I would suggest the council would not.
They have to meet the insurance policy because right. they get extra insurance for securing this amount.
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
Because my brother Guido, to make you a rate you wouldn't, he'll be hard to find.
Make us a deal we can't refuse. Thank you for the input. Appreciate it. I think we understand the intent. Further public comment? Mr. Moore?
My own concern would be whether or not there's actually enough time to pursue that. This is the 22nd, they renew on the 29th.
You have a 10-day grace period afterward, the after they mature. There is a 10-day grace period.
So it gives us just a little bit over 2 weeks, under 2 weeks, 22nd. Yeah, it gives us about a couple weeks. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll do the best we can. Further public comment? More council comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, almost there. Discussion decision to approve a zone change application for 411 Church Street, Stevensville, Montana, requesting a zone change from commercial zoning designation C1 to commercial zoning designation C2. Planning and zoning has reviewed this. An application was originally received from the property owner at 411 to convert the property zoning or rezone the property from C1, which it is now, to R1. He purchased the property understanding there was a residential structure on the property, and he wanted to renovate that structure and then turn it around and sell it again as a residence. So he came to us and put forward an application for R1 zoning so that the property could be used residentially. C1 does not allow residential use on the first floor. The Planning and Zoning Board attempted to convene, but lacked a quorum. The administration held some further discussion with the property owner and heard some other suggestions and made the recommendation that he modify his application from an R1 request to a C2 request. That eliminated us doing any significant spot zoning. And it's, you can still have a residential use in a C2. So it fit both his objectives as well as the commercial designation of that area that the town has previously undertaken. So the Planning and Zoning Board met and reviewed the application. Their recommendation to you tonight is to accept their or to accept the request to rezone and change the property to a C2 designation. That will allow the property owner to sell the property either as a residence or as commercial use, either way. Any questions? Mr. Michelson?
Yeah, I also might like to add that at the planning and zoning meeting there, we discussed this thoroughly, and another reason that, as Mayor Dewey was saying, that he wanted to change it to C2 is because it would up his value if he went to sell it. He just sold it as one. It would be one basic value if he had an option, one or the other. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions or council direction? Ms. Barker.
Do we have a map of showing where this particular location is for the public?
We have all things but the map.
There's
an itty bitty one on in the. Keep going the other direction. Yep. Keep going. It's like the next page after that. There's a map in the staff report. Keep going. Next page. Okay, so there's a subject property, Church Street. This property is located on the west side of Church Street between East 4th and East 5th. Currently, there's a little small residence that is on the property to the north. It's a vacant lot, zoned C1. To the.
So is that Cranston, the big one? Is that
the big white one is Cranston's shop. Yep.
So it's directly across from that.
Yep, mm-hmm. And that entire, so the right hand side of that map, those are all zoned C2. The left hand side is C1, with the exception if you rezoned, that would be C2. So there'd just be a little sliver of intrusion.
The same ones for this though, right? This was something else. Was this just all the
things? You know, I think that
is this just every what you all just had a meeting on that night?
Yes, I
that was a public comment when it was probably listed as R1, and they submitted public comments at that time, and you just carried them forward into the nobody commented.
I think that there are minutes that were included with a packet. Okay. And so that's that, oh that those are the minutes that they approved at their meeting when they considered
this
item. That's why it's in there. Yep.
Because this was that dealing with the other house.
That would confuse you. Yep. Okay. I apologize. That's Yeah, that's part of their packet. Okay. What we did was replicated their packet and stuck it in yours. We didn't note that you don't need to consider those minutes in their entirety.
Okay.
So moved. There is not a motion on that. Mr. Michelson?
I make a motion that we approve a zone change application for 411 Church Street, Stevensville, Montana, requesting a zone change from commercial zoning designation from C1 to C2.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve the zone change application for 411 Church Street, Stevensville, Montana, requesting a zone change from commercial zoning designation C1 to C2. Further council discussion? Public comment? Mr. Minmack.
I need a standard.
Please. Please do.
That's an exercise program.
I don't know why I'm the history major here, because I really didn't do very well in school. But just for the council's knowledge, this has happened before. And what we've done in the past is issued a conditional use permit for a person who bought a home that they thought was going to be was legally residential, and it wasn't. The reason it wasn't legally residential is because it had been abandoned, its use had been abandoned for 12 months or more. So it's a non-conforming structure in a C1 zone. As long as you don't abandon the use, you can continue to use it and sell it as a residential structure. But once it's abandoned that use, it loses its grandfathering. So what he's asking you to do is to abandon your right to essentially force it to be commercial. And we judge that by what's the compelling interest. Is there a compelling interest in the town to secure this property forever as C1 because we expect the town to grow sideways rather than long ways? Or is it such that we don't expect that to happen anytime in the near future and we don't have a compelling interest to retain C1 on this particular parcel, which happens to be quite small. But what he's asking you to do is abandon your rule that says you actually aren't able to use it as a residence because it lost its grandfathering. We've done the conditional use permit, and it doesn't fit entirely, but it was the only accommodation that the council at the time could think of to allow this person who, in good faith, bought it from a real estate agent who didn't inform him and he didn't check. This gentleman did the same thing. In good faith, he thought he bought it at auction at the county courthouse, and it was going to be a resident, able to be. When he discovered it wasn't, he had a problem. What we did on the previous gentleman is that they wanted to live in the house. So this gentleman's problem is a little compounded because he doesn't want to live there. He wants to flip it and have somebody else live there. So the best thing, I think, if you're willing to do that for the gentleman, is to give him the C2 zoning, which doesn't necessarily compromise it compromises the full commercial value of the lot in the future, but it still has commercial use if somebody wants to mow down this place at some point in the future. So it seems like a pretty reasonable compromise to make in this case, but you are making this accommodation for this individual based upon, quite frankly, his lack of due diligence, which he freely admitted, and I can understand how it can happen. Things can get complicated. So in this case, the C2 zoning seems like a good solution for the town to make. You still have commercial use, but it allows the resident, it can continue now, be used as a residence as long as somebody uses it without abandoning it for 12 months or more. So that's really the question here that I think is before you, is does that fit the needs of the town? Is it consistent with the town's growth policy? And therefore, everybody wins.
Thanks, Jim. Further public comment? Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 8th Street. We did not get on the paper saying that we own property within that zone, and we are in favor of this going to a C2 zone. We just didn't get it on the record.
It is now. Thank you. Further public comment? Note, Mr. Minmack asked if this was consistent with the growth policy, and in our review of the policy and the application, we determined it was, in fact, consistent with the policy. Just so public has that information. If there's no further public comment or council deliberation, we'll call for the vote. Last call. All right. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you. That concludes the business portion of the agenda tonight. Record time, no less. Thank you for that. A few things on the executive report, and I apologize. I haven't been the best at doing my weekly emails to you folks the last couple of weeks, and it's just a lot of it has to do with the time commitment here is at City Hall. We've just got a lot going on. I'll work on doing that better. But nonetheless, I have some things for you tonight. You're aware of the independent investigation that was started in as a result of some harassment and hostile work environment claim from the office. That continues today and will continue until we see a report. Northwest Energy will be working to remove part of the tree, a large cottonwood tree at Veterans Park. It is encroaching on the power lines there. And so within the next week or two, they'll be out doing that work, and then we've agreed to help them with that in taking away the debris. Met with the clerk and I met with representatives from Big Sky Investments. They're the owners of the complex that contains Community Medical Center and the physical therapy and pharmacy. They're interested in condominiumizing that property, so instead of the investment firm owning the buildings, they would have the opportunity to sell those buildings individually to the occupants or someone else, and then the common area would be maintained, the parking lot and the lawns would be maintained by the homeowners association that they formed there. So expect, if they move forward on that project, you can expect some sort of declaration to come forward on a business item on the agenda. Last week or the week prior, I attended a meeting with the Stevensville Rural Fire District. That was their monthly meeting. We primarily discussed aspects of the interlocal agreement. We've been primarily operating under the old agreement, which we kind of thought expired in January of 2017, but there's a clause in there that allows us to operate under it after that. So we've been operating under that agreement. The chief, fire chief and I have been working on some details surrounding how they rent space from us or what space they occupy of the towns. And so that was held in discussion, and we'll send some language over to the attorney for his review. I'm still awaiting comments, I believe primarily from Councilmember Barker, if there's somebody I missed, on the e-communication policy. And it's been some time since we went through that, and we should send some reminders out to folks and let them know if they had any draft language they wanted incorporated in that policy, just to get that to either the clerk or myself so we can do that, and then we'll get a meeting scheduled and hopefully resolve that. The fall cleanup information has been a bit restructured this year. Nonetheless, it's the information is out, and fall cleanup starts the 29th and runs through Friday the 2nd. So if you need information on that, we've got flyers at the front counter, as well as it's posted on the town's Facebook page and website. So that information is there. We've advertised for a certified building official to fill in part-time. And what we found is that there aren't many certified, or any really, certified building officials that want to serve a community in a part-time capacity. The two applications or responses, they weren't really applications, they were more or less responses that we got for the advertisement, more or less wanted full-time employment at a six-figure salary, which we can't accommodate. So we're going to move forward. I'm having April prepare an advertisement for the building inspector position, which is part-time. We'll see if we can have better luck recruiting somebody for that position, and then hit the drawing board and see what we can come up with in regards to a certified building official, or building official at that. So it may take a shift in workload that changes in efficiencies. Northwest Energy is working to replace some of the memorial trees that didn't survive replanting out at the bike path. Some of those trees, according to their experts, perished because of our maintenance routines. So we've kind of extended a an agreement with them that if we help with some of the labor to replace those trees, that maybe they'll still be willing to replace the tree itself. So we're working on that project, and now's a good time to get that wrapped up. We're waiting for a bulletproof vest to arrive in order to bring the new police officer on board to serve at the school as a school resource officer. So as soon as we at least know definitively when that vest will arrive, they were backordered, then we can at least get his orientation started, and then once that vest gets here, we can put it on him, and then he can start getting out in the field and doing some field training with the chief. So we're optimistically hoping that the first week or two of November that vest will arrive. We're having significant issues with our copy machine in the office. Anders Business Solutions, our copy machine repair company, has been here both Friday and today. They're waiting on a part to fix that, and that is the main cause of the issue with your packets this week, aside from the sheer size of your packet. The machine's having issues. We're hoping that the part that they replace or put in will fix the issues we're having. So in the meantime, we hope that you'll be patient with us as we scan and get information to you. But if that part for some reason doesn't work, then we may come to you with another solution to resolve that. We own that machine now. We bought it out of the lease for $1. And so I don't know if we re-enter into another lease for a new machine and try to sell that one as a boat anchor or what the case may be. But we'll just look for that and appreciate your patience even with the public as we resolve that. We run that thing hard, you guys. Every water bill we send out runs through that machine. And then every payment we receive goes through it as well. So it at least gets 1,600 copies every month. The airport fence, April went ahead and got us through the bid process there. Those bids came in higher than we anticipated. And nonetheless, we're going to work on some financing of that and see what we can do. We'll move forward with what we do have, and also in conjunction with that project, as I previously reported, we're working with the neighbors there to resolve the claim of a damaged driveway, and that kind of coincides with where these fences go. So we're working on that with Public Works, and we got to get a fence in there before the snow flies. That's a priority. We're moving along with bids on the generator install. April is seeking some grant funding from FEMA to see if they'll help us. This is the generator we received maybe like 18 months ago now, that was Department of Defense equipment. Didn't cost us anything to buy. We just had to ship it here. We paid that shipping, and now it sits in the alley. So we've solicited a couple of companies to come in and get that installed. When that installation comes, it will more than likely result in the town hall having to be closed at least one day. We may try to do it like a Friday-Saturday install. And so my hope is that I'll probably schedule a staff retreat on that day so that it's not a day wasted on wages, and that we'll meet someplace else and probably work on some team building and other issues that we need to work out. So look for that to come forward depending on how the bids come in and how quickly we can get that done. We'd like to do it before it starts freezing. On October 30th, remember, is the communication workshop with MMIA, the Local Government Center, and NLCT. Unfortunately, we won't have our fourth council member on board there, but I think nonetheless we can still get some good progress there and work out some issues. So I'm still looking forward to that. As a reminder, that will basically eat up most of the day for us here at Town Hall. You'll have some evening meetings with the representatives there to kind of express your concerns privately before we come into a public meeting and we digest it and resolve some issues. So that's coming up. And just a response, because I know that this comes up in there. I'm sure the public has remarks about it or may not. But in regards to my son coming to work with me, no staff member, in fact, most staff members have grown children of their own that are near my age or older, and I think that their diaper changing days are behind them. No staff members change any of Carter's diapers, nor will I ever ask them to. Yes, Carter continues to come in to work with me, and that's what I've needed to do in order to complete the tasks and carry out the affairs of the town as we need to. So, you know, I'm sensitive to that. I don't like to bring him in here any more than I have to, but, you know, that's something I've got to do in order to carry out the public's work. So I appreciate everyone's patience with that and understanding. And if there are any ever volunteers that would like to change Carter's diaper, you see my cards at the counter. Thank you. Town council comments. No. Board reports. Mr. Michelson.
Planning and zoning met, but we discussed that and took the issue tonight at hand.
Okay. Any other boards meet about? No. All right, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Ms. Holcomb.
I'm moving to adjourn.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Barker?
Ms. Barker?
Aye.
All right, all those in favor?
All right.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you. So we'll have the main meeting at 7. At 9. And the previous to that, so maybe like...
Robin has a hard time getting here because she's an ambassador.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And maybe we could set up a teleconference. We have that in the but they want to meet prior to that 7 o'clock meeting just to get a sense of what the council wants on independent meeting and they're independent of the staff. And so I think their initial intent was to have a room open for you folks without having a quorum present. From like 5 to 7 or 4 to 6. So if we need to make an accommodation for this, so is 6:30 kind of the earliest you can get here?
Yeah, because I'm like booking it from...
You work at 6?
I work until 5.
Okay.
And then Friday get here from Hamilton.
So I think it'll be easy for them to get with you two, with just the three of you, it'll be easy just to hit you individually. So they can get with you two, I think, easily during the day, and then at 6:30 they can meet with you, and then, you know, we'll meet at 7. And we could even schedule it for 7:15. So I'll try to write that up in a schedule and get that to you guys.
Okay.
I'll write that up and send it to us. Yeah, we'll get it some sort of schedule and we'll put it in an agenda form so we can get it posted.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Careful with that.
Good meeting. Thanks, you guys.